This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a new natural product from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response: elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farms Elderberry with Zinc and Echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is an all-natural, science-based formula and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our subject is intravenous vitamin C, and our expert is Dr. Jeannie Drisco. I've heard Jeannie come on Intelligent Medicine in the past. We've talked about some of the exciting research on intravenous vitamin C. And at the time, we were talking about cancer. Yeah, there's potential for intravenous vitamin C to inhibit or kill cancer cells. We're switching our focus today because of the current pandemic. And vitamin C offers a plausible, inexpensive, and safe treatment. Again, we're not going to claim that this is some sort of panacea, but it is a marvelous supportive therapy for severe respiratory infections like COVID-19. And Jeannie, I wanted you to talk a little bit about some research done by a guy at Eastern Virginia Medical School. He's out of Norfolk, Virginia. I think that's the correct way to say it if you're from Norfolk. He's Dr. Merrick, I believe, is it?
Yes, Paul Merrick. Yes. After we gave our protocol to the Wuhan group, he came in and I think probably was instrumental in helping them back off of using higher doses of vitamin C. His belief is that if you give the 1.5, not more than 6,000 milligrams, 6 grams of vitamin C in the vein, and combine it with steroids and combine it with thiamine, that in patients that are in the ICU on ventilators with acute respiratory distress syndrome and organ failure, he believes that you can make a significant change and save their lives. Well, there's a trial that's going on right now called the VICTAS trial, V-I-C-T-A-S, and it has probably, 20, 30 different hospitals trying out his protocol. So we're going to get the results of that sometime this year.
Wow. So again, ARDS is that severe pulmonary meltdown that we think is similar, perhaps not identical to what's happening in COVID-19, because there's some authors who are saying, no, this isn't ARDS, this is a different variant, but there's a lot of similarities. There's a cytokine storm, their fluid fills up the lungs, the patient's prognosis is terrible. In the best of cases, maybe half of patients in the ICU with ARDS survive. And what he was able to achieve is a greater success in sustaining survival in patients with this protocol. Now, we know that steroids have been trialed extensively in this because it's an inflammatory condition. They don't work. I actually remember some of that work from my time in the hospital. They tried it. They tried everything on these patients because these patients were ready for extreme unction, you know, basically the final benediction. So they threw everything at them. They threw steroids at them. It didn't help. In fact, you could actually make a case that giving steroids could be counterproductive because they're immunosuppressive and they might allow the virus to proliferate and overwhelm the immune system. But anyways,
that's absolutely what a lot of people that are on the front lines are recommending. The researchers are saying that the virus may actually survive in the lung for 20 days. So if you've got these patients in the ICU and you're starting to throw steroids at them, you might help that virus survive.
Yeah. And, you know, also they're using immunosuppressive medications, some of these rheumatoid arthritis medications that are cytokine blockers, TNF-alpha blockers. They're, you know, really trying everything because the patients are subject to so much inflammation. But coming back to that formula, so it's a little bit of steroid, but we know that the steroids alone didn't work. And the thiamine, okay, you know, thiamine, you know, maybe that's beneficial at some
level.
You know, they throw a little dash of that in. It's kind of like, you know, put in a little paprika, you know, just it's just something that kind of maybe amps up the benefits. But the key element is the vitamin C, and that Dr. Merrick is pretty convinced that the vitamin C is the key player in helping to save these patients. And he's really kind of attempting to crusade on behalf of vitamin C. But as you point out,
it's interesting, though.
He's a little bit of a dubious ally because he's the one who says, you know, hold back on the very high doses that we think might be more effective.
His recommendation the other night on our webinar was to cut back on the vitamin C, even at those very low doses, and increase the steroids.
Okay.
So I asked him about that, and he said, well, people are just afraid of steroids.
Yep.
That was his response.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, this is it's a whole new entity. We have to be open to new approaches, and we have to be cognizant of the fact that some of these patients may have kidney problems, so we have to be careful about the vitamin C. So now talk to me a little bit about some of the commercial and political forces that are at play here. Because, you know, I don't know how far you want to get into it because, you know, there may be some sensitivity to discussing some of the issues on availability of vitamin C. But there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on in terms of the availability of the material that doctors use in clinics across the country when they give patients IV vitamin C, right?
That's correct. In 2017, there was approval for the use of IV vitamin C in scurvy. So it now has drug approval by the FDA. But the company that got the drug approval now has market exclusivity. They're the only ones that can make it and sell it in the United States, including, and we'd always gotten it from compounders, the pharmacists that make products. We've gotten it from BioNiche or Mylan from Ireland. So a number of places, but now we can't get that anymore. But all of a sudden, we have this huge demand for vitamin C.
I mean, a lot of patients are running scared. They feel fine. They just want to go in for a preventive vitamin C IV. I don't know, you know, whether that's worth risking breaching social distancing to go to a doctor's office to get the vitamin C. But anyway, it's in the spirit of prevention.
Yes, yes. So it has been very difficult to get. Now, we've asked the FDA to check on supply, and they were assured by the company that they would be able to keep up. But for example, I ordered in March, mid-March, and I still haven't received my supply of vitamin C. And here it is. Late April.
Yeah. We're talking toilet paper, elderberry syrup, and vitamin C in very short supply, right?
But I saw that today the FDA has granted approval for compounding pharmacists to continue working and making products that are in short supply. So I have a feeling some of the compounding pharmacists will continue. Yes.
Okay. You know, I'd have to say, you know, that I used to have a big IV room in my practice. And, you know, currently I practice with a doctor who administers vitamin C, but I got out of the business of, you know, hiring nurses and obtaining the vitamin C because it just got very arduous and expensive to obtain all the ingredients that are necessary to make these potent intravenous cocktails for my patients. I mean, I'm fine with people doing it. I just decided that I wanted to focus on clinical practice and not be worried with the logistical details of getting the vitamin C, which is
Well, let me give you an example.
Becoming more and more challenging, right?
It is. when I first started infusing vitamin C, it was around $12 a bottle. Mm-hmm. Then it went up to $17 a bottle.
And we could charge the patients like $45. You know, right, we would charge, I mean, because obviously, I mean, yes, there's a markup, but oh my goodness, you know, the preparation and the, you know, the nurses, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, just the administrative costs, you know, okay, so fine. But at least it was an accessible therapy, right?
But now it's over $100 a bottle. And for our research, we have to pay $250 a bottle. If an institution or a researcher buys it, it's mm-hmm. $250 a bottle.
And it's obviously not covered by insurance because it's considered, quote, an experimental therapy, right? It's not.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. So it's just wrong. It's greed is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, vitamin C, frankly, is very cheap to make. It's just, you know, going through the approvals and the inspections and the bureaucracy, you know, the company wants to recoup its investment in, you know, all the clean rooms and all the, you know, bureaucratic, submissions and wrangling with, the FDA and so on. And, you know, so I kind of get where they're coming from. But the net result is that it makes this therapy far less accessible to the general public when it is a potent therapy.
That's correct. It's really sad.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Propax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Jeannie Drisco. You know, have you had any patients that you're acquainted with or that you're advising other doctors on who have had symptoms of COVID-19?
And yes.
What are you discovering are some of the important
therapies? We have two patients that were in the ICU in China that we work closely with the doctors. Kay and I are getting ready to write this up. One of them was actually near death. He was what we call moribund, and they started giving him IV vitamin C, about 25 grams, 25,000 milligrams, 25 grams. And he survived. He got out of the ICU and he's still living. There's mm-hmm. another patient that has a similar story. And then we have patients here that, you know, this is called anecdotal evidence,
yes.
But these are patients that have symptoms of COVID. They've got fevers. They've got the heaviness in the lungs. And they're receiving about 25,000 milligrams or 25 grams of vitamin C in the vein. And they're doing that in three days, one right after the other. And it seems to be helping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, that's anecdotal, but so too is the research so-called on hydroxychloroquine. I always mix those two up, and azithromycin. I mean, and by the way, I believe in the plausibility that hydroxychloroquine or Plaquenil could do some good there, but somehow these conventional drugs get in line first ahead of what seem like aggressive nutritional therapies. It seems that they're sort of shouldering them aside. You do your own podcast. By the way, let's give a shout out to that. How do people access your podcast?
It's the Art and Soul of Healing.com.
Okay. And, that's available through all the usual podcast outlets. You can subscribe to it. So you interviewed John Weeks recently, and I might try and grab him for an interview as well, because he had a very interesting proposal that he recently publicized. You're familiar with it, his proposal?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, he believes that the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, which is part of the AMA that gives doctors all of their continuing medical education credits, which we all need to continue practicing, that the ACCME has singled out integrative medicine and has stopped giving credits for our conferences. And I think that his approach of discussing restraint of trade is a good one. I think we need to go after ACCME for
it's like
hampering
a monopolistic
us.
Thing, you know.
It is.
Like, yeah, exactly. It'd be as if, there's some sort of licensing body for, let's pick a trade, basket weavers, and only officially trained basket weavers who engage in a certain style of basket weaving could ply their trade. Not that medicine isn't a science. Pretty much basket weaving is, you could say, well, that's an art, that's idiosyncratic, let 1,000 different ways of basket weaving proliferate. What I was actually talking about is another proposal that he floated recently, is that we establish a registry for natural treatments to COVID-19 so that we can study these scientifically, and there's so many different propositions. One simple proposition that could be easily studied is, what's vitamin D doing in COVID-19? What are the levels of vitamin D in patients who are going on ventilators or who are dying? We could easily obtain that information because we store a lot of serum, the samples are stored in freezers so that we can do retrospective research. What went wrong? What are some of the levels of different things in the blood? We could also study other nutrients like zinc, and we could study vitamin A, and we could look at a variety of nutritional parameters. Are these patients metabolically fit? Do they have an elevated hemoglobin A1C, and so on and so on and so on? And then we could also look at, looking even anecdotally, we can say, look, this is not definitive, but it's a hypothesis-forming theory that, say, intravenous vitamin C or astragalus or resveratrol or elderberry, some of these plausible therapies might have a role to play in this. Why aren't we doing that?
Again, I think the bias against nutrition is so pronounced that it's unlikely that they'll even consider, that they being the conventional federal funders will even consider doing these types of analysis.
So you actually have a lot of experience with something called NCAM, National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. And there have been some successes there, and that's certainly a vehicle for research on natural medicine. Do you think that NCCM might pick up some of these themes and look at it in an unbiased way?
Well, there was hope that the new director, Helen Langevin, might do that. But in the space of COVID-19, I think there's been a little bit more of a back step from more aggressive interventions.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's strange because You know, it's a crisis, and we don't have a definitive answer, and we won't have a vaccine for a long time. And even if we have a vaccine, it's not entirely clear that it's going to be fully effective, you know, much like the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine, let's admit, it confers some protection against the flu, but only, you know, modest protection. You know, some years in the teens, some years we do a little better. We approach maybe 40-50% of protection if we get lucky. So in the absence of these definitive fixes, doesn't it behoove us to look at natural approaches?
Well, I think it should. And a lot of people in our country and actually around the world are ignoring the advice, don't take those poisonous supplements. You can't even find vitamin C on the shelves in some places.
Yeah, exactly. There's a run on vitamin C and zinc. And, you know, my patients are having a heck of a time accessing elderberry through FullScript, you know, or online dispensary. I've never seen, you know, I look at the statistics on my account at FullScript, and it's just, I've never seen anything like this. This is like, you know, it's like toilet paper and Purell and, you know, Clorox wipes. You know, it's disappearing.
But people aren't stupid. I mean, they know that there is benefit when these supplements are added. They know. And they, you know, in spite of what our public health officials might be saying about poisonous supplements, they're using them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there have been some, I think, really counterproductive articles in, you know, mainstream media. You know, New York Times is one of the worst offenders, where the headline was something to the effect of immune-boosting supplements, ? They might not help, and they might actually be harmful. So, you know, do you see the potential for harm by taking supplements? Are they off track there?
They're off track.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So suffice it to say. Also, the World Health Organization has not been much better. They actually put out, they have a section on COVID-19, of course. And, you know, they're in the crosshairs because we wanted to defund them. At least the Trump administration wants to defund them. And that's controversial because it's thought that they are carrying water for the Chinese regime, which hasn't been really forthcoming about the pandemic. And so, you know, I looked at their dietary recommendations. I says, let me see what they have to say. And it says, here's one page. It says, eat unsaturated fats from fish, avocado, nuts, olive oil, soy, canola, sunflower, and corn oils. And it says, don't eat saturated fats. Avoid fatty meat, butter, palm and coconut oils, cream, cheese, ghee, and lard. Do you know, I mean, you've done some research on diet. Do you come across any research that suggests that by eating cheese or butter, this is somehow going to be deleterious to people who have a virus?
That's the old Ansel Keys research from, which isn't actually really research, from the 70s. That's largely been debunked, but it just hangs on. It just won't die and go away. People need a variety of fat. It makes the shell of the every cell of the body. It makes our structure. It makes our skin healthy. It makes our immune system healthy. I mean, good quality fat is critical.
You know, and I would say if I have a patient come to see me and for an evaluation, they want to say, you know, am I fit to fight coronavirus? And I do a blood test on them and I go, you know, your cholesterol is 112. And the person may say, oh, goody, that's great. I got really good cholesterol. Studies actually show that the very people who have the lowest cholesterol are more prone to infections and in particular viral infections. So I'm not saying that necessarily eating lard is the, you know, or having a lot of coconut oil is going to make you invulnerable to the coronavirus. But I think it doesn't make any sense at all to tell people to avoid saturated fat at this point in time. And yet they put up those recommendations.
And the cholesterol is actually, you need some of it inserted in every cell membrane because it's giving it structure, the cell structure, and it's also used as part of it as signaling other cells. Hey, there's something going on here.
Yeah. So when it comes to public health, I don't think the World Health Organization has coated themselves in glory. I don't know if you subscribe to the notion that they've helped China cover up, but even if they haven't, they're absolutely wrong about their dietary recommendations in the midst of this. They're clinging to some outmoded, anachronistic models.
And they can join with the American Dietetic Association, with the National Health Service in the UK. So all around the world, this dietary advice is misguided.
And on the other hand, sensible dietary advice might be, don't binge out on comfort foods. Don't have a lot of starchy, sugary, high glycemic index foods, the very foods that people turn to in times of stress, because these are foods that will upset your blood sugar, which does seem to be
absolutely
a variable, right? I mean,
does.
At least a plausible connection. I mean, it's one thing to say saturated fat's bad. Okay. Well, I don't know, maybe, but it's the carbs that seem to be really implicated here.
Absolutely. Those people with metabolic syndrome are at a higher risk for COVID-19. There's no doubt about it.
And because of poverty and, cultural predilections, we're seeing the minority communities hit pretty hard. And, I'm not saying that there aren't some metabolically fit individuals who are getting sick, and they are, and it's unclear why, but if you play the odds, if you're a betting person, you want to go into this pandemic, especially during the lockdown, where they're now saying, okay, it's okay to come out from your hidey holes and walk around and, be amongst people who might be infectious. I'd rather be metabolically fit than pre-diabetic, hypertensive, and obese, and, with a high level of inflammation. I think.
Isn't that the elephant in the room? Because nobody's discussing it, but it's the fact.
Yeah. But I think that actually is a big inroad for integrated medicine, for the stuff we've been talking about for a long time. Because, we've been slaving for so many decades, you and I, urging people to adopt healthy lifestyle. But they kind of say, look, I see that looming on the horizon, but that's 10, 20, 30, 40 years hence. So, I'm going to enjoy myself while I can. But now there's sort of a clear and present danger, which is something that's not a matter of years and years off. It's a matter of weeks and months off, is the vulnerability to coronavirus infection.
Absolutely.
So, okay, well, we got our work cut out for us. And if you want a handy guide, it's wonderfully succinct. You've condensed all the information we need to know about integrative and functional medicine into one slim volume that weighs about 12 pounds. It's how many? It's 1,000. Oh, my goodness. It's 1,100 pages long. And, congratulations on that work, because it really was a labor of love. And I'm very proud to say that I was able to contribute a small chapter to this
text. It was a great chapter.
Yeah, which I hope is going to really be an important reference for a new generation of integrative physicians who, in whatever field, in medicine, in naturopathic medicine, chiropractic, health coaches, don't forget nurses and physician assistants, people who aspire to put into practice some of these, very, very important scientific principles, which ultimately may save our populace in the face of what now doesn't offer any quick fixes.
Well, we absolutely believe that's true, that if we can get people to start shifting to a integrative or functional medicine lifestyle, that they're going to have, they may think they're enjoying themselves by not doing it, but actually they'll be enjoying themselves more by being more fit, active, eating healthy foods. They'll have less depression, less chronic disease, and improve survival.
Well, I think that really sums it up. And, I want to congratulate you for your long career and wonderful contributions to this field. culminating in this book, but also your great work on in terms of advocacy of therapies like intravenous vitamin C. I think there's the story of vitamin C in the treatment of chronic diseases, not just viral diseases, but also cancer. Some of the chapters are yet to be written, and I know you're going to be part of that. You'll be in the vanguard. So thank you, Jeannie Driscoll.
Well, thank you too, very much. You're one of the pioneers and on the front edge yourself.
Thank you. Hopefully not over the edge, but on the cutting edge and not over the edge. You know, it's kind of a fine line between those. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us, Jeannie. It's really a pleasure, and all the best to you, and stay safe to you and your family.
Okay. Thank you. You as well.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.